During the recent Olympic Games, the greatest athletes in the world gathered in China and demonstrated their wonderful skills. And if you watched any of that on television, I know that you were impressed by the athletic ability of so many people who participated in those games. Of all those who participated in the Olympic Games, I think that I am as impressed by those who participate in the high jump as anybody. It's almost unbelievable what the high jumpers are able to do. They run toward that bar. They take some funny-looking hops. And they flip their bodies over the bar, hoping their legs will follow. And the amazing thing about all of it is that they're able to clear the bar a foot or more above their heads. Now, I can just imagine myself trying that feat and how I would land and how I'd end up. They run toward that bar and throw their bodies higher than their heads. And some of those high jumpers have cleared 7 feet, 5 inches. Remarkable. But the high jumpers do not just go out there and start at 7 feet, five. They start much lower and they warm up. And they clear 5 feet and 5.5 and 6 feet. And then they get serious as they set the bar higher and higher until sometimes records are set. They raise the bar. And that's how great things are accomplished. When Jesus came into the world, he came into Judaism. He came among people who had lived for 1,500 years under the law of Moses. And as he began his teaching, one of the first things that he did was to present the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, which would form the basis of everything he taught. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was giving characteristics of those who would become citizens in his kingdom. Characteristics of those who would become disciples. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus raised the bar. Did you notice in our reading this morning that Jesus said, "You have heard"? And that's what they had heard through their previous teaching. "But I say unto you, you have heard, but I'm raising the bar. You have heard, but I say." And in Matthew chapter 5, in the verses that we read, Jesus said, "You have heard, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." And that's what the law of Moses said. Have you ever wondered why the law said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? That stipulation of the law of Moses was to prevent violence. And it was to prevent overreaction to what was done to you. For you see, in those ancient times, one person might do something to another person, might hurt him in some way, and the retaliation would be to kill the first guy. Or maybe to go and wipe out his whole village. So the law of Moses said, no. You only react in kind. You don't go beyond a certain standard. So an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You don't take a life for an eye. But here comes Jesus and he raises the bar and he says, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. And if anyone slaps you on the one cheek, turn to him the other. Now Jesus is talking about discipleship. He's not talking about government. Government is ordained of God. Romans 13, 1 through 7 tells us that. And government bears the sword to punish evildoers. That is, if somebody breaks the law, they're going to pay the penalty. Jesus isn't talking about that. He's talking about the way that we personally, as disciples, respond to others. And he said, do not be caught up in retaliation. And that's the principle. Just because you mistreat me doesn't mean that I'm going to mistreat you. Moreover, he said, if somebody sues you at the law and takes away your tunic, give him your outer garment as well. Now, to understand what he said, we have to know something about dress customs of his day. In Jesus' time, one wore a tunic and it had a belt around it. It was like a long shirt. Today, it would be a woman's dress or a man's pants and shirt. And he said, if somebody sues you at the law and takes away that garment, give him your outer garment, give him your coat too. Under the law of Moses, no one could take and keep somebody's cloak, the outer garment, because that's all that he had to keep himself warm on cool nights. And so if you took somebody's coat, you had to give it back to them by the setting of the sun. So you couldn't take a person's coat and keep it. Jesus said, give them the coat too. Now, he wasn't instructing his disciples to give away all their clothing. But he was making the point, give more than can even be required of you. Because nobody could take away your coat. And then Jesus said, if somebody compels you to go a mile, go with him too. Now, the land of Israel was an occupied country. The Romans ruled that part of the world and the rest of it as well. And Roman soldiers were in the land of Israel. And a Roman soldier could require a Jewish man or a Jewish boy to carry his pack. So here's a Jewish man in the field and he's there trying to earn a living, and a Roman spear taps him on the shoulder, and a Roman soldier says, here, carry my pack. And he had to leave what he was doing and go with the soldier. But there was a law that said, only for 1 mile. And I'm told that in ancient Israel, they had stakes along the major roads, 1 mile apart, so they wouldn't carry that Roman soldier's pack 1 foot longer or further than they had to. Jesus said, don't just try to get by in your life as a disciple. Give more. If somebody compels you to go a mile, go with him too. What was Jesus doing? He's raising the bar. He's showing that the way to abundant life is to do more than can ever be asked, to go beyond that which is required, to have the attitude not what do I have to do, but what may I do. And this morning, I want to challenge us to raise the bar. To raise the bar individually as the disciples of Jesus, and to raise the bar as the church. And I want to begin with attitude, because that's where it starts. There's so many good people who belong to this church and who worship and serve here and do countless tasks that need to be done. The challenge today is for us to step up a little bit higher and to do a little bit more, to raise the bar and to become what we have the potential of becoming individually and collectively. An athlete may have the potential to be an All-American football player. If he has that potential, what a tragedy if he's content with just making the team. Well-known advertisement says, become all that you can become. Isn't that the attitude we ought to have as the people of God? That's what we have in mind about raising the bar. We begin with attitude. And here is an announced truth. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. We are what we think, and we become what our attitudes are. If somebody has a great attitude, they're going to become a great person. If they have a sorry attitude, they're probably going to be a sorry person. I don't know about you, but I like to be around people who have good attitudes about life. It helps me with my attitude. And I like that in the church too. I find that I benefit by being with members of the church of the Lord who have good attitudes about life and about the service of Christ. As he thinks in his heart, so is it. And note with me a perfect example of that. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul talks about it in Philippians 2, 5 and following, when he said, let this mind, now that literally means, let this attitude. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, he was very God. His essence was deity. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Thought it not a thing to be grasped to be equal with God. What does that mean? Well, if Jesus had not been deity, it would have been stealing to act like he was. It would have been robbery. It would have been grasping something that wasn't his. But he was deity. So being in the form of God, it was not robbery to be on equality with God. It wasn't a thing to be grasped unlawfully. He was who he was, and he was deity. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he emptied himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. He became a human being. He stepped down from heaven to earth. And being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The next verse says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. But notice this. The attitude of Christ was,
that he came into the world and lived a life of humility. There wasn't anything that smacked of pride in the earthly ministry of Christ. It was humility that brought him from heaven to earth and it took him to the cross. And he came into the world to be a servant. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And you remember he taught that if you want to be great in his kingdom, you occupy the place of a servant. Greatness in the kingdom of God is to become a servant. The way up is to become down, to go down. It is the paradox of the religion of Jesus Christ. And so he humbled himself and became a servant, and he was obedient to the Father's will. He came for no other purpose than to do the will of the one who sent him. So he became obedient. And not simply obedient, but obedient to death. And not just to die, but to die the death of the cross. Paul is emphasizing in Philippians 2, the obedience of Christ. He humbled himself and became a servant, and as a servant, he wanted to obey God in every detail. And that's the attitude that followers of Christ are to have. So in the church, there isn't any place for pride, but there is a place for service, and there is a place for obedience. And obedience to the divine will is the mind of Christ. We want to do what God has asked us to do. And so, if up until this point, you've had a problem with pride, or you've had a problem in serving, or you've done your thing instead of God's thing, let's raise the bar a little bit. And let's see if we can go higher, and let's see if we can be better than we have been in the past. Now, we're very pleased today that we have a number of visitors here, and we do at nearly all of our services, and we welcome you, and we're glad you're here. But right now, I'm going to deal with the family matter, and I hope that all visitors and family will benefit from what I'm about to say. But this is a family matter. I want to illustrate the principle of raising the bar with attendance, with church attendance. And this will be an illustration of what I'm talking about. Let's notice some facts, and unless we note the facts, it'll be difficult for us to be any better than we are. As a matter of fact, until we look at the facts, we might just settle back in complacency and think, well, we're doing as well as we need to do. And I want to challenge that today. So, number one, look at our membership. Our membership, the Benton Church of Christ, is 295. 295. Number two, at Sunday morning worship, we have averaged over the last 3 months 284. Number three, in our assemblies, the best estimate that we've come up with is that we have 84 visitors and children. That is, those who are not considered members here. Even though our children come all the time, they're not baptized believers. We have 84 of those. That means, number four, that members present on a given Sunday, we have about 200. Now, that's 68% of our members. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that I might know. But I know about me.
If in my house there is a dad, and that's me, and there's a mom, and that's Arlene, and we have three kids, and that's how many we have, and when they were growing up, if we came around the table to eat dinner and 68% of us showed up, I'd want to know what happened to the rest of them, wouldn't you? I'd want to know about that. And there would need to be a pretty good reason for the rest of them not being there. But here it is, 68%. Now, I want to raise the bar right there, and I want to challenge us to raise that to 80%. To 80%. And what that will mean is that we will have 320 average every Sunday. Now that includes our members and the children and our visitors. But we will never go under 300. And that's raising the bar. This church should never have less than 300 present. Number five, members absent every Sunday, 95, or 32%, 1 in 3. 1 in 3. What we need to do in raising the bar is to make the goal 20% there. 80% present, 20%. Absent. Number six, we have sick and shut-in people numbered at about 20. That's 17% of our members. That's 7%, I'm sorry. We're always going to have that. We'll have some who are sick and some who are shut-in. We have about 7%. So then, number seven, possible attendees who are absent every Sunday, 75 or 1 in 4 of our members is absent each Sunday. Now, I understand that there are times when you need to be away. And there are times when you want to be away. There are times when you need to visit family. There are times when business will take you out of town. But here's where I want to raise the bar. When you have to miss, I really want you to care about that. I want you to know that when you miss, you're missed by the rest of us. And I want you to know that when you're present with us, that that helps the rest of us. And so I want to raise the bar so that we'll begin to think about being here rather than thinking about being somewhere else. And I want to repeat, I know there are times when you need to go and you want to go and go with our blessing. But hurt just a little because you're not here. That's what I want us to do. When we go, I want us to wish we could be here. Now, last Sunday, I had a pretty wonderful experience. Pretty wonderful experience. Arlene and I went to Parkersburg, where I haven't been a lot of times through the years because when I moved, I left the country. I mean, I had a pass, and I needed to get out of there. So I left the country, and I came south to school, and I only went back there to visit. And I haven't been back to my hometown since my dad died 6 years ago. Until now. And I've preached at this church where I grew up a number of times through the years because I'd be there on a Wednesday night or sometimes I'd be there on a Sunday and they'd ask me to preach. I've never held a meeting there until now. And one of my old school buddies knew I was coming and he got a bunch of the people that I went to church with and went to school with 50 years ago. He got them together Saturday night. It was a great thing. And on Sunday, we began the meeting there, and it was a great reception, great reception. I didn't preach very well, but it was really good.
And we haven't been a lot of places lately that received us like we were received there. But I want to tell you something. In Parkersburg, West Virginia, they are 1 hour ahead of us. So when it's 9 o'clock here, it's 10 o'clock there. And last Sunday morning, at 9 o'clock, I thought about you. And last Sunday morning, I was thinking about what you were doing here. And I really wanted to be a part of that. And that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes we've got to be gone. But when we have to be gone, I hope that we can raise the bar and we can come to the place where we can say, well, I have to be gone, but I wish I didn't. So, in the possible attendees who are absent, we have 75. That's 1 in 4, 25% of us. Now, the next three things that I want to notice have to do not with the membership, but with attendance. So, number 8, in our Sunday morning Bible classes, we have averaged over the last 3 months 228. That is 80% of those who come to worship. Now, hear me. The goal there ought to be 100%. 100%. Because we're here. We're people of the book. We take our stand upon New Testament Christianity. There isn't any goal for Bible class less than 100% because we're here. Number 9, our average attendance at our PM meetings over the last 3 months has been 177, or 62% of those who come on Sunday morning. And let me tell you, and I want you to look at me now, because I'm smiling. But I want to tell you, that is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. Not with people who want to achieve greatness. Not with people who want to be all that we can be in the service of God. That is not acceptable. So, we need to raise the bar. And we want to raise that to 70%. To 70%. And that means that we will always have at least 200 here on Sunday night. What are we doing here Sunday night? We're singing and praying and opening the Word of God. We need 200 here. On Wednesday nights at our Bible classes, we have an average of 187, or 67%. And I would assume that there are some included in that number, because it's higher than Sunday night, that there are those included in that number who bring their children on Wednesday but do not bring them on Sunday night. And we need you. We need you there. Now, let's move from that. That's an illustration of what I'm talking about. Let's raise the bar. And let's move to a third area, attention. And the first thing I want to emphasize is indication. I know, so you don't have to tell me this one. Christianity is not just about church attendance. I know that. I know that well. But I also know, in my experience, the first step out of the church is when they quit coming to church. And the people that work the most in the church are those who attend the church. So there's something to it. And Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." And I know, I've heard all that. Heard all that. I know somebody's thinking, well, that's just Sunday morning. Well, it's sometime on Sunday, all right.
The Lord's church has to meet sometime on Sunday. And I know that the other times the church meet have to do with expediency and have to do with opinion. But I want to tell you why I'm going to be present all the time. Now, I'm not like that guy. His mother knocked on his bedroom door one Sunday morning and said, "Son, get up. It's time to go to church." And then she didn't hear anything out of there. She came back a little bit and knocked on the door, and she opened it this time, and she said, "Son, get up. It's time to go to church." He said, "I don't want to go to church." She said, "Yes, you're going to go to church. So get up. We don't have much time." He said, "I don't want to go down there. Nobody likes me down there. Nobody's friendly to me down there. I don't want to go." She said, "Get up, you got to go, you're the preacher." Well, I'd go if I wasn't a preacher. And I would go because God wants the church to meet on the Lord's Day, but I'd go at other times that the elders asked me to, because the Bible in Hebrews 13, verse 15 through 17 says, "Obey your leaders." And remember that they watch for your souls as those who give an account. And they think in our spiritual lives we need what they lead us in offering. And Hebrews 13 says that they may do their work with joy and not with grief. I'm not going to grieve them if I can keep running. So the first word is indication. What we do in our church meetings, there's some indication of where we are in our spiritual lives there. And then the second thing is priorities. I'm just going to spend a minute here and then I'm going to close. First of all, in priorities, we need Bible study. There is a dearth in this land in regard to the Word of God. And I want to tell you, there is a dearth in the church as well. We don't know the Bible like we once did. And we're trying to do something about that. And so we're trying to help ourselves in studying the Bible. And so not only do we speak orally, we put it on the screen and we put it in print, because if we can see it and hear it and write it down, it will fortify it. And I want to know why we don't do that. And we ask people to open their Bibles. Hey, we're students of the Word. We're people of the Bible. Let's open it up. It isn't just a place to dry flowers. It's to study. And that's what we're trying to do here. Second, we need more prayer, that our teaching and preaching, whether it be in the pulpit or in the classroom, can be stronger and stronger. We need prayer for our teachers. We need prayer for ourselves, that our hearts will be open. And third, so that we can fulfill our mission and ministry, the salvation of the lost. And let me tell you that we cannot teach others what we do not know. So I'm asking us to raise the bar. Will you join me in that? Let's raise the bar. And let's be all that we can be, not as little as we can be. And let us grow into greatness. And if you'd like to join hands and hearts with us, I want to invite you to be nothing more than a New Testament Christian. And I want to invite anyone here today who is subject to the gospel to come at the invitation song as a penitent believer, to confess your faith in Christ and to be immersed into Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. If you're a child of God and you've been living out there on the periphery, just know that the bar needs to be raised, and that's not good enough. And let's be the best we can be. If we can help anybody, come as we stand.
I am resolved no longer.